let's do it. I am Jeff K. This is the Jeff K. Show. We're broadcasting once again from deep, deep underneath a nondescript home in suburban Pennsylvania. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for finding us. Thanks for listening. So on and so forth. Furthermore and whatnot. We made it. We made it through Christmas. I feel like I made it unscathed. I hope you're in the same boat as I am. I feel like I made it through without any damage, emotional, spiritual, or physical damage, you know, as far as that goes. So I feel like it was a success here at the old K household, Shea K, as they call it. And the food was good. Everybody was in fairly good mood, which is, you know, all of us were in a good mood at the same time. Ultra rare turn of events, I might add. You know, there was no problems. There was no arguments, no disagreements, no shenanigans. And so I view the whole thing. The kids were happy with what old Santy brought them. You know what I'm saying? So I view the thing as a complete success. In fact, I'm shocked at how successful it was. I come away from these Christmas in the old days. You know, obviously when you're a kid, there's magic. Christmas time is magical. And even in my 20s, early 30s, probably, I was, I loved Christmas. And like I say, magic is in the air. But at some point, there's no magic. It's something that you, I don't want to speak for everybody, but it's something, I view it as something to endure at this point. Something you just have to get through, push through, just close your eyes and just push through, get to the other side, and that's where we are. And it went really well. Everybody was happy. We had, for dinner, Tony cooked everything except for the ham. The ham came from Honey Baked Ham, which is like kind of expensive place. But man, that shit was fantastic. That was some solid ham right there. Tasted smoked. It was spiral cut. The thing was pre-cooked, so you just take it out of the refrigerator, let it assume room temperature, serve it up. You don't even have to heat it up or anything. Man, that stuff was good. Crack open the aluminum foil on that thing. This smoky goodness comes rolling out. Oh, man. I think it's like 12 bucks a pound or something. You get a 5-pound ham, costs like $60. Which is pricey, but if you do it once a year, whatever. It's great. It was really good. So the whole Christmas extravaganza, the multi-day Christmas extravaganza, was a success. What can I say? And I don't feel guilty, which is rare. I generally feel guilty. I always feel like, oh, I could have done more. You know, I could have. The kids, they seem disappointed. I don't think they were disappointed at all. You know what the key is? Okay, Tony buys them all the stuff, and it's generally stuff they need, like clothes and or whatever. It's not always clothes, but in this year it was mostly clothes and stuff. And then I come in and I buy a few little fun things. You gotta have the fun stuff in there, along with the Levi jeans and the winter jacket or the winter coats and stuff. You gotta have a little bit of fun stuff in there. That's my department. So the two of us together, I mean, I think we pulled it off. It was great. Makes me feel better. So we made it through, and even on Christmas night, the younger boy said, why don't we watch something, you know, all of us. We watch some kind of a Christmas movie or something. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know about this. This might be a bridge too far. We might have pushed our luck with this. I was thinking, what is this going to be, like Elf or something? Oh, my God. So I was, like, groaning inside. I mean, the thing about Elf is when somebody suggests watching it, I'm always like, oh, God, no. anything but that, you know. But then I start watching it and I like it. I don't know. It's hard to explain. But anyway, he wanted to watch the 1938 version of A Christmas Carol. And when he brought that up, I was like, ah, okay. I'll be asleep in 5 minutes, this boring ass, you know, overacting pancake makeup bastards from 1938. They're like shouting all their lines like they're in a theater, you know. So, but it turned out it was good. It was actually pretty good. And you know the best part about it? It was 70 minutes long. 1 hour, 10 minutes. It's exactly, that's right in my wheelhouse. I think more movies should be that length. You can go to 1 hour, 15 if you want to push it. But anything past that, unnecessary. It's got too much fluff in it, as far as I'm concerned. These movies that are 3 hours long, bullshit. A load of horse shit. They should be shunned, if not outlawed. So that was good, and there was a lot of crazy stuff that went on in this movie, which allowed me to make, quote, comical comments along the way, and it was fun. There was a lot of laughter. There was a lot of, you know, it was just good. There was a good vibe in our house this year, so that's a relief. And Christmas, speaking of Christmas, Steve and I, my friend Steve and I, known each other since like first grade, I'd say. We've been friends forever. We grew up literally like 50 yards from each other. His house was about 50 yards from my house. And been good friends all our lives, basically. And at some point along the line, I don't know when this happened, we started exchanging Christmas gifts. When I'll think back, I didn't exchange gifts with any of my other friends. Seems kind of bizarre. But anyway, that thing got started many, many years ago, probably back during like the Jimmy Carter administration. And it endures to this day. It continues to this day. And so I met him a few days before. And another thing, we grew up 50 yards apart. Now we live in Pennsylvania. Not too far from each other. How weird is that? Anyway, so I met him down at the old Cracker Barrel, where I made a tactical error, I might add. I generally go with the Cracker Barrel sampler, but this time I just went with the straight up chicken and dumplings, or as they say at Cracker Barrel, dumplings. And the sampler has the chicken and dumplings, meatloaf and a piece of ham, and then three sides, right? That's a good combination, man. That's tried and true. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. So, but I wanted to go heavy. I wanted some chicken and dumplings. So I just went with the straight up chicken and dumplings meal. And I missed the meatloaf. There was a hole in the center of my meal. Emotionally speaking, I needed that, and it's like, it's got this zingy, like ketchup or something on it, like some kind of sauce. It makes the, I don't know, it works well. Those two things together, that ham, they can take that and stuff it. I mean, that's just like a side item. That's a bit player. The two main attractions in the Cracker Barrel sampler are the chicken and dumplings and the meatloaf. Together, those two, they're like Lennon and McCartney, like Simon and Garfunkel. You know, they complement each other. So if you take one away, the whole house of cards collapses. And that's what I did. I had a hankering for a dumpling, and I made a mistake and just went all dumpling. I went all in on the dumplings. And it didn't work. I was disappointed. But anyway, I gave Steve. Steve loves that movie, Christmas Story. And, you know, he loves it. We went to the Christmas Story house. The two of us went there. few years ago. We went to Cleveland to see a baseball game, and we made a side trip to the Christmas Story house where the family lived, Ralphie and the old man and all those guys. Randy, is that the brother? And so anyway, it's in Cleveland, and we went there, toured it. Fairly dull, but you know, we went there. So he's obsessed. He loves all things Christmas Story. So I saw where they released a exact replica of the Red Ryder BB gun that was Ralphie. The whole movie was about him wanting this BB gun. So that the packaging is the same as in the movie, and you know, all the way down, it was like an exact replica. So it was fairly new. It had just been released. So I was pretty sure he didn't have it yet. So that's what I gave Steve. He was super happy about it. Or he was either super happy, or he was very good at faking it. So he liked his gift. I gave him the official Red Ryder BB gun, the original packaging and all that. He gave me a baseball signed by Pete Rose with the inscription, "Sorry, I bet on baseball." So there you go, Pete. There you go. That's the way to get re-inducted, you know, into the game. He's barred from baseball for life. Makes a mockery of it. I mean, I think that. Do you view that as making a mockery of the whole situation? He got kicked out of baseball for life for betting, for gambling. In fact, he gambled on baseball. That was the ultimate sin. So so now he's signing balls. "Sorry, I bet on baseball." Which I think is, he's not taking it seriously. It's a joke, in my opinion. So gallows humor, as they say. So anyway, that's a cool item. I'm glad I have it. Pete, you know, he was one of the best in the 70s. I mean, in the 60s, too, but I knew him in the 70s. He was like, you know, there was nobody more electrifying than that guy. I mean, he was the greatest as far as excitement and playing the game wide open. However, there was a little bit of arrogance there that was slightly off-putting to me, even before I could articulate that. He just he had a swagger, which, you know, I appreciate in retrospect. I like him. I think I like him better now than I did when I was 12. You know what I mean? He was fun to watch, that's for sure. He was a great player, and he never stopped. He ran wide open at all times. And but he was cocky, which made me like him a little less, you know. So anyway, so now he's been out of baseball since the 80s. They caught him gambling and all this. And he was the manager of the Reds at the time, got kicked out, took a lifetime ban, agreed to a lifetime ban. And he should be in the Hall of Fame if it wasn't for all that nonsense. One of the greatest players of all time, had the most hits of all time. I mean, he had the most hits of any player in history. All that stuff. Fantastic. But it's that arrogance again. All roads lead back to the arrogance. He can't just can't say, "I'm sorry," and, you know, put on a, even if you have to fake it, just fake it and say and act like you you really feel bad about it. You know, "I made a mistake and I feel bad," but he can't do that. I don't think that's in him. Good old Pete. So anyway, there's a lot of people argue that he should be in the Hall of Fame, even though he broke all the rules. You know, the rules are, or not all the rules, but you know what I'm saying. Back 100 years ago, baseball was almost ruined because of the Black Sox scandal, as they called it. Chicago White Sox played the Cincinnati Reds, ironically. In the 1919 World Series, some of the White Sox players, including Shoeless Joe Jackson, one of the greatest players of his day, some big hayseed rube who just happened to be like one of the greatest baseball players of his day. These guys took gamblers' money and threw the games apparently. And they all got kicked out of the game. It almost destroyed baseball. So this is in 1919. So at that point, they brought in a commissioner. With the first commissioner was, check out this name, Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis. Oh, yeah. Is that a cool name or what? Kennesaw Mountain Landis. So, in every dugout, in every clubhouse, in the minor leagues, in the major leagues, there's a notification saying gambling, any kind of association with any kind of gambler or any kind of gambling activities, you're setting yourself up for a lifetime ban from the game. There's zero tolerance for it. Everybody knows about it. It's been going on for 100 years. Pete believes he's above that. You know, they're not going to do anything to me. Are you kidding me? I'm Pete Rose. So there you go. It's the arrogance again. So anyway, he's a complicated man. And people will argue up and down about whether or not he should be in the Hall of Fame. I believe that he, at this point, it's been 30 years. I think the man has suffered. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I'm sympathetic to him, but I have no issue with him being banned. I'll put it that way. And if they make a decision not to ever allow him in, I guess I'm okay with that. On an emotional level, I think enough time's passed to let him in at this point. Everybody says, you know, if you get an argument with people about this, they'll say, if we're going to start banning people because of morals, then a lot of these guys shouldn't be in there. About Ty Cobb. Ty Cobb killed a man. What the hell? He did not. When did Ty Cobb kill a man? So anyway, it's not about morals. That's not what it is. It is there's a rule. One of the main rules in baseball is you can't gamble. You can't be associated with gamblers. Pete thinks he's untouchable because he's Charlie Hustle, you know, hit king. He's got the most hits. He thinks he's untouchable. Says screw you, you know, come get me. Well, they did. They came and got him. So anyway, that's what Steve got me for Christmas. The Pete Rose, sorry I bet on baseball, signed baseball. And before we move on from Christmas, from the subject of Christmas, I have one more thing to tell you. This is kind of a little embarrassing, but Christmas Day was this big slovenly, just sackism. Laying around the house, just shoving food in, cookies and candy. Just, you know, there's nothing going on. There's nothing happening. Everybody's just in chairs. Well, the kids are upstairs in their rooms. Tony and I are just like, I'm like sunk down in a chair, just eating nonstop. And at one point, I went into the bathroom, and there was a big old chunk of chocolate chip cookie inside my underwear. I don't know. Who the hell knows? I don't know how it got there. I don't know. Whatever. But it reminded me of this story from back in the Atlanta days. There was this girl, Annette was her name. And she told me this story. It wasn't just me. She told a group of us this story. She said that one time she was sitting on the toilet at her apartment, you know, urinating, although I don't think she used that phrase. You know, Annette wasn't the most, polished ladies I've ever met in my life. And anyway, so she said she was sitting on the toilet urinating and at her apartment, and there was apparently a cockroach fell from the vent above in the ceiling above her, fell from the vent and landed in her underwear while they were down around her ankles. And then when she stood up and pulled them up, the cockroach was still in there, and it was like moving around, and it was moving around in there, and said she freaked out so much that she nearly like took the bathroom door off the hinges trying to get at it, you know. So that's always a good story. That's a good Christmas tale. Has nothing to do with Christmas. All right, let's move on. At the website on Monday, I'm recording this in advance of Monday. I'm gonna write a full report on the Long John Silver's Chicken Plankpalooza, or is it Plankapalooza? I think Plankapalooza sounds better. But I'll do a full report with a few photos and give you the final numbers, how many planks, chicken planks we ate. So that'll be on Monday at the West Virginia Surf Report. But while we were sitting there, we were there for close to 2 hours. We had many a conversation, and one of the ones that made me laugh was we were talking about, like, one of the guys was giving me a hard time because I was using a straw to drink from. And we had previously talked about how our dads, who are exactly the same age, told us when we were young that men are not supposed to use straws, drinking straws, and that it's not manly. So we think this is funny. And but the thing about it is he wasn't using a straw. He was drinking straight off the lip of his cup, you know. But I was using a straw. I mean, come on. Fast food restaurant, you put the lid on and you poke the straw down through the hole, and that's how you drink a soda at a fast food restaurant, right? Not him. He was sticking to it, man. His dad told him when he was young that drinking with a straw is not manly. So I think he's conditioned not to ever use a straw. But we started talking about other things that are not considered manly. I mean, this wasn't a serious conversation. We were just joking around. But one of the ones which we agreed on was using an umbrella. You know, you can't use, you just like hunch your shoulders up and just walk through with purpose. That's how you get through the rain. But the one that cracked me up, he brought this one up. I've never heard this before, and I don't even know how I feel about this. But he said ordering pancakes in a restaurant is unmanly. I said, what? I've never heard of that before. He goes, you can enjoy them in the comfort of your own home, but you can't order them out anywhere. That's unmanly. I've never heard that before. So I thought that was hilarious. What else we got on that? If you guys want to share the things that you've heard through your life, maybe from your dad or your grandfather, you shouldn't be, that's not manly. I don't think there's any such thing as manly anymore. I certainly don't. I don't participate in that. But anyway, that was part of the conversation there at the Long John Silver's. And on a closely related note, the other day I sent a text message to somebody that was it was a joke. I mean, I was making a statement, but it was kind of in jest, you know. But it was very dry. So I wasn't sure that she was going to get the comedy aspect of it. So I added one of those smiley faces at the end. And I can't remember ever using any of those emoji things or any of that stuff. I didn't even really know how to find it on my phone. But I put this like yellow face, you know, smiley face thing on there at the end just to signify that it was a joke. That it was sort of a joke. It was a half joke. And I sent it. Immediately felt shame. Felt embarrassed. Felt humiliated. I felt sad. It's like, this is who I am now. Emoji guy. Oh, God. That makes me sick. So, I don't know. I think that's worse than ordering pancakes. In fact, I just had, waffles. I just had a waffle a few minutes ago. Well, not a few minutes ago, but a little while ago at the old Waffle House. I didn't feel any less manly or more manly than when I walked in there. I don't know if Waffles, I have to talk to him on Monday, see what he, if Waffles fall in the same category as pancakes. How about French toast? Where's that fall? Mister, don't be getting between me and my French toast. All right. So anyway, I sent that emoji. Even saying that, that's the stupidest thing. You know, I used to feel the same way about the word blog. That's a stupid name, a stupid word. Blog. Emoji. Just saying those words makes me feel creepy, weird. I don't like it at all. So I don't know about that. That might be my first and last emoji. We'll have to see how it goes. I don't. It's a slippery slope, I fear. So we'll just have to see how it goes. And one more thing before we start to wrap up here. I saw something, speaking of the internet and how it's ruining our lives. I follow Gordon Ramsay. I mean, God. What are you busting my balls about that too? But I follow Gordon Ramsay on Instagram. And he posted a picture of his kid. He has he's a boy. He's like 20, I think, 21, according to Tony. And he's like standing on some beach somewhere. It's just a few days ago. And he's wearing like a Speedo. I mean, this thing's like ridiculous. And he's all buffed up. Like he's like works out all the time, you know. And I was looking at the comments on that thing. There were like all these comments about how he has a small, like he has a small penis. like hundreds, thousands of comments about just alluding to the fact that it looks like he has a small penis. Just over and over and over again. Just like the guy's like 20 years old. one of the comments was, this banana hammock is missing a banana. It's like just one comment, just like hundreds, thousands of comments about this guy, his abbreviated Wang. You ever heard them? They play down at the, you ever heard of abbreviated Wang? Yeah, they have a new album coming out on Epic Records in a few months. Anyway, so I was like, God. And then the guy's probably like, thanks, Dad. You know, thanks a lot, you know. I mean, that's just outrageous. But the internet giveth and the internet taketh away. All right, now it's time for, we're almost near the end of the, we're, or no, we are near the end of this thing. Not almost. So it's time for
Jeff K's Whistle Dick of the Week.
All right, this is going to be a quickie. This is another internet thing. This makes my blood boil. This is one of those things that people have started seeing other people do. Monkey see, monkey do. What a bunch of dumbasses. Have you ever noticed that people on Facebook usually, instead of saying just 3 more days until whatever event, like people will say, just 3 more days before my son comes home from the army. I'll just say that, for instance. Except they'll say, just 3 more sleeps until my son comes. 3 more sleeps. Have you seen this? I mean, I've never seen anybody use that or heard anybody use that phrase before until just a couple months ago. Now it's popping up. It's taking hold, and people are using that. Just 2 more sleeps, and I'll be, you know, we're going to Disney World or whatever. Like, what the? You bunch of, oh. I mean, that's just an asshole. It's an asshole way of putting it. And so any of you folks who use the just 2 more sleeps thing, you are the undisputed whistle dick of the week. All right, let's wrap this thing up. It's, you know, it's my first one back from vacation. I'll get back in the swing of things. Good Lord. If you want 2 of these a week instead of just one, and I don't know why, I can't even conceive of a notion of only, of being okay with just 1 of these. I mean, when there's 2 available, it's easy to do. It's painless. Just just pop on over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more a month patronage. That's a monthly donation. Stick it on a credit card. It comes out at the first of every month, and that's it. And you'll instantly gain access to the Thursday show. I post one of these. It's exactly like the Monday show, but it's only available to patrons. So if you want to become one of those patrons and you want to tap into the rich world, parallel universe that is the Jeff K. Show Thursday episode, then do it. Do it right now. Just pop on over to patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up. It's easy. It takes seconds, and you'll instantly gain access to all the old Thursday shows, the ones that are already in the can, and all the new ones as they're released. So do it now. This thing's near the end, and as soon as the music stops, just head on over to Patreon and sign up. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this, and I will be back on Thursday over at Patreon. And until then, you guys have yourselves a great day. Bye. That was some solid ham right there.